Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
A newborn believer knows nothing of living the Christian life. They have to grow up. So if you lead someone to Christ and the next day they're back doing what they used to do, you go, oh, I guess it didn't take. No, they got saved, but now they've got to get saved from these individual sins. In the process, the sanctification unfolds.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Overseed Rye. This may be a little silly thing for me to share with you, but it's been pretty serious to me recently, so here we go. So I have this piece of dirt, basically. There's grass some places around my house, but there's this piece of dirt in front of my house that is dirt. Summertime, nothing grows there. Wintertime, just dirt. And I ran this by Carlos, my expert friend, and he said, oh, if you overseed rye out there, you're going to be mowing all winter. I'm like, well, I'd rather see some grass than not. So I go to the store. They sell me 200 pounds of par rye. He had recommended the Double Eagle, and they talked me into par rye, which I know nothing about either one. I actually brought a little bag of this. Anyhow, so they tell me you can't have any debris. So I blow all the leaves, and I rake this massive area by hand, all the twigs that have been there for however many years, put them in piles, shoveled them into wheelbarrowed them off to the side of the property. It's perfectly clean. So then I get my spreader, and as it turns out, putting the seed out is the easiest thing in the whole proposition. I load it up in that little broadcast, whatever it is, and seed everywhere. I mean, that was done in 15 minutes. And then I turn into a little kid. And the guy at the store said, well, you need to put it out there, and then you need to water it twice a day. Buy these, you know, hook your hose up to these specific deals, and twice a day, 10 minutes. Get it moist, and I'm like out there every day looking at the ground going, is there grass? Now, he told me 7 to 14 days, but I thought, oh, no, no, no. In my case, it's going to be two. It'll be two. I have miracle grass. So what is so crazy about this experience for me is if you go to my house right now, there's these little shoots all over that. It's not solid yet. I may have to overseed some more. But I had such anticipation because I had sown seed and I was expectantly every day going out there looking for any sign of any life, any change, anything coming out of the ground. I'd look at something and go, oh, that's it. And it was just a weed that had come back from last year. So we're going to cover a lot of ground like I did with this seed today. And some of what we're going to cover is some of you have got a lot of seed in the ground and you're waiting for something to come of that. And it's taken too long because the package doesn't say 7 to 14 days. You just have to wait. And it could be seed that's been planted in a daughter, a son, a husband, a wife. And you water that seed and you wait and you wait and you wait. So just right up front, I have enough seed in this little pouch right here to give everybody in the room one of these seeds. I'm telling you, you would think it's trash. There's no way this turned into grass unless you've seen it happen. I have seen it happen. Now, if I took someone who knew nothing about this and said, look, let me explain to you. If you'll take all these little seeds and overseed as much as you want, buy extra. Just put it out there. All of these little seeds in here are going to turn into grass. You have a beautiful lawn. They go, dude, you're crazy. I'm not spending money on 200 pounds of anything, throwing it in my yard, and then hope something happens. Until you see it happen, you're operating by faith. But even if you've seen it happen, you are still operating by faith. Because I got plenty of people who put this stuff in the ground, and they got beautiful lawns, but it couldn't happen fast enough for me. And I am like a little kid. I was out there last night with a flashlight. You think I'm kidding? I walked around it. I walked through it. I was like, wow, I've got green grass where there was just dirt. So let me read you a few quotes. Billy Graham said this, "We are called to scatter the seed of the gospel. It is God who makes it grow in the hearts of men." Watchman Nee, and if you don't know, anybody know who Watchman Nee is? Ever heard that name? Anything you can get your hands on that he wrote, read that. He said, "All we can do is plant and water. Spiritual growth is entirely God's work." Hudson Taylor, another one, missionary. "God is not looking for great men, but for individuals who plant faithfully and trust him for the increase." F.B. Meyer, "Do not try to force fruit. Plant, water, and leave the growth to God." George Mueller, "Work with the seed, pray for the rain, and trust God for the growth." You see a pattern here? It's all about God and the growth. John Stott, "Evangelism is sowing, discipleship is watering. God brings the growth in his own time." A.W. Tozer, "You can plant and you can water, but only God can give life to the seed." Now, back to my little bag of seed. This seed does not look like grass. You put the seed in the ground, and we'll get to this at the end again. You put this seed in the ground, you cover it up, it's in the dark, moisture, and this is completely nuts. Because these look like little pieces of trash. And under the right circumstances, there is some kind of code in these little pieces of nothing trash that when they are in the right place, moisture, dirt, they go activate. And it blows up into grass. Every seed in the world does this. Right conditions. But you can only do what you can do. Farmers plant crops. And once they put the seed in the ground, they can water, they can fertilize, they can do whatever they want to do. But there's one thing that a farmer can't do. He cannot speak to a seed and tell it to turn into whatever that seed turns into. Only God can do that. So you hear me telling stories about sharing the gospel with people. And not everyone that I share the gospel with becomes a Christian. A lot of times they do. But what happens if you have someone in your family, you've waited years, but at some point in their life and in your life, you have said these words. Now, please pay attention, especially if you've got lost people you care about. In the same way that one of these seeds turns to grass, if you have the seed of the gospel, which is what? Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead. If you plant that seed in a person's heart and mind, it can germinate. You say, well, but it didn't happen immediately. You have to leave that to God. You can no more save that person by planting that seed than you can make these seeds turn into grass. That's all God. You say, but why isn't he doing something? He is doing something. You just do what you're supposed to do. You plant, you water, and let him work. I have never saved anyone because I cannot save anyone. I couldn't even save myself. We go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and it says, "And the Lord God formed man, and what did he form him of? Of the dust of the ground." So what is nice about this is he made a man from dirt, but he was kind to women and didn't make them from dirt. He made a woman from a man, one step, you know, out of the dirt. But where do we come from? We come from the dirt. When we die, we go back to the dirt. "He formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So what are we all basically made of? Dirt. And I'll say this, remind me if I don't at the end. But where is the best place to put a seed? In the dirt. Isaiah 55:10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So when God speaks, it's never wasted. When he plants that seed of his word, he doesn't plant it and go, oh, nothing came back. Something always comes back. So when you speak scripture, when you quote the word of God, when you read the word of God, when that is planted in your life, it comes back. It may not be on the spot, but it's going to come back around. Go to John chapter 12, verse 24. Now, some of you may say, well, this stuff is like duh stuff you're reading. It's everybody knows this. John 12, 24, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So I've got this seed in this Ziploc bag. I guess I could put it in some kind of urn, bury it, and in 1,000 years, someone find these seeds in the Ziploc bag in the urn. And what will have happened to them? Absolutely nothing. But hypothetically, if they took them out and put them in the ground, the code's been in there the whole time. But it does nothing until it's put in the ground and dies. And this is part of the dilemma with us as believers, especially, or someone thinking about becoming a Christian. Because Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you find it. We do not want to die. We do not want to be buried and forgotten. But that's the only way that he makes that transformation, and then our lives explode. Everything changes. And then you get on the other side of it and go, what was I waiting for? Why didn't I just let God have it all and do what he was trying to do instead of holding on and having nothing in exchange? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start here in verse 1 to give you some context on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, so this is Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And I've said this before, but just as a reminder, a newborn believer is a carnal believer. There's no other way it can be any different. He said, what do you mean? A newborn believer knows nothing of living the Christian life. They have to grow up. So if you lead someone to Christ, and the next day they're back doing what they used to do, you go, oh, I guess it didn't take. No, they got saved. But now they've got to get saved from these individual sins. In the process, the sanctification unfolds. So be patient with people. But he's addressing them. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now implied here is, or stated, you start with milk, but at some point you have to get off the milk. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And here was the issue where they were being so carnal, childish. For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Paul's obviously who Paul is. Apollos was this well-known teacher, and they were trying to say, well, you got saved under Paul, I got saved under Apollos, like arguing who was better, like who was more important. And look what Paul says to him about this. Who's Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So sometimes people get discouraged. They say, well, but it seems like there's people that share the gospel and somebody gets saved. No one ever gets saved with me. You might be watering. Someone else is planting. It's no excuse for you not to be planting, but be aware that we're all part of this process together. But ultimately, it's God who gives the increase. It is all about him. No one can save anyone. No one can change anyone. Only God can change someone. And a lot of times, wives do this to husbands, husbands to wives. They go nagging on them, gnawing on them, trying to change something in their life that if it's a heart issue, only God can change. So when you go to him about an issue, then he works from the inside out. We are always working from the outside in trying to change someone, but if a believer, someone is a believer, the Holy Spirit working in them starts to change their heart, change their mind, transforming by the renewing of your mind, the Bible talks about, and it's God who's doing the changing. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he's not saying you're worthless. It's not about these people, Apollos or Paul, or the people that are laboring. Ultimately, if God doesn't do what only he can do, nothing is going to happen. There will be no change. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So you say, well, how does this work? You say, well, do you share the gospel out of compulsion? Well, in a way, because I care about people and I know that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and he prompts me to say something and I say something. So there will come a day when I will give an account And if you read the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you see this. I'll give an account for whether I did this or not. If he's saying to plant and you don't plant, you're going to give an account for that. If he says water and you're not watering, you're going to give an account for that. You say, well, but there's grace and it'll all be covered. I'm not a big fan of abusing grace. I believe in it, but you're going to be a little bit disappointed possibly when you get to the judgment seat of Christ as a believer and go, oh, you weren't kidding. Like, no, I wasn't kidding. The fire's going to hit your life and we'll see what's left. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now the context here is different kind of seed, but it's still seed. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. In other words, there was a need that was mentioned about the people, and they said, we'll help. And he says, well, okay, great. I've told them you said you'd help, but I'm going to make sure you're not just talking. You actually will do something. Verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So be generous with people. And this is what he says in verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So why is it called overseeding rye? Because you're putting way more out there than you need, because if you put more seed out there, you get more grass out there. I didn't go out there, drop a seed, trying to be careful. And on top of that, it rained on my overseed rye and moved it and piled it up. So now I got these crazy ridges of overseed rye, and a little disappointing, but I think I can fix it. You're overseeding. So if God says give, you say, okay, Lord, you're going to have to stop me because I'm going to give it all away unless you stop me. Is that how we handle it? Or do we go, well, let me see what I can give and get away with giving grudgingly, not from my heart? Why did I put so much seed out? Because I wanted a lot of grass. Overseed. Verse 7, or again, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So this thing dominoes in on itself. Don't be a tightwad with the gospel or your money. And, you know, people come to me and say, well, I'm in all kind of financial trouble. I'm like, okay, well, let's start here. Are you a giver? What do you mean? You're putting no seed in the ground and yet you're expecting a crop. What are you doing? That doesn't even make sense. Now, this is how silly that would be. I go, oh, Lord, we have all this dirt in front of the house. And I pray in Jesus' name that miraculously ryegrass will appear in 14 days. Now, could God do that? He could do that. Is he going to do that? Probably not. Why? Because you reap what you sow. And so people say, well, but you see people get saved. I don't ever see anybody get saved. Why don't you start sowing? Because that's how you start reaping. You say, well, I'm sowing, but nothing's happening. Are you watering that seed with your life, with your words, with scripture, with your interaction with that person? Are you the kind of Christian that if you were sharing the gospel with someone and trying to share with them, look, I'd love for you to meet Jesus and get to know him, and they go, well, then I'd end up like you? Are you the bait? Or are you the problem? And sometimes that's the problem. We don't share the gospel with anybody because if they go, so you're a Christian? No, thanks. So if they see the change in your life, they see the fruit in your life, and you walk with God and you bear fruit, and it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know, all the fruit starts exploding in your life, they go, sure, I want that. But if they don't see that, they're like, why would they trade their misery for your misery? And you claim that God can change their life, but they don't see much evidence that he's changed yours. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Just figure out a way to give the gospel away, give your life away, give your money away, whatever it is God's saying, give it away. Give like he gave. How did he give? He gave everything, everything, withholding nothing. We sing a song, withholding nothing. Now, there's actually some people who have a gift of evangelist, and there are people who have a gift of giving, right? So I understand those are different categories. And people with the gift of giving, God almost has to rein them in because they'd give everything away. So you say, well, I don't have that problem. Well, maybe make a run at it. I sat with a couple of my grandkids and had a pretty intense conversation and talked to them about, you know, they got rooms full of toys. And I said, well, you know, why don't we figure out a way to either take some of these toys and give them away, or let's find out what some kid who has nothing and use something you've got to get them something. And then you build that in. But if you tell your kids to live that way and you don't live that way, they're going to go, what are you talking about? You don't do that. You got no time for anybody. You don't give. Galatians chapter 6. I don't think I shared this story. Let me tell you this before we read Galatians 6. I was at a luncheon the other day and the guy sharing, he told a story about Mother Teresa and some atheist guy that flew to Calcutta to meet her. He didn't care about God. He just thought, man, this woman's changing the world, making a huge difference. So he shows up with a check for like $1 million or whatever it was and hands her an envelope. He thinks he's doing a big deal. And she opens it and looks at it and doesn't respond, basically. And he's kind of taken aback, like, wait, I just handed you this huge check. And she said, sir, we're giving our whole lives away here. She said, does this hurt at all for you to give this money? And he said, no, ma'am, not really. And he went home, and a few weeks later, she got an overnight package with a check with a note on it for, I think it was $25 million, and the note said, this hurts. So figure out some way to say, okay, God, what do you want from me? I promise you what he's going to tell you. He says, I want everything. I want all of you. I want you to be obedient. Whatever you've got, and you've heard me, I've said this for years, don't buy anything that he can't give away. Is there anything you own that if he said, give it away, you say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, because it belongs to him. Oh, no, no, this is special to me. His son was pretty special to him, too.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. So number one, don't be deceived. Don't act like, you know, you're being lied to. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what kind of seed are you putting in the ground? The gospel, are you watering that seed? Your life, are you saying, Lord, just bury me and let my life explode into whatever you wanted it to be whoever you want me to do whatever you want me to do. And help me not sow into my flesh, help me sow into spiritual things and see how that changes my life. So you go back to Genesis chapter 2:7, I think it was, formed man of the dust of the ground, man made from dirt, perfect for planting a gospel seed, apply a little living water, and boom, a new life. And then we come along and water that together and see someone grow. They've gone from death to life, from the power of Satan to the power of God, totally changed.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.